Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18+ in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointsTC.
Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad. Your mom and dad.
Well, welcome home, family. It's your mom and dad. And I cannot control myself right now. I have no ability to be patient and hold off with my thoughts and opinions. So family, just FYI, if you have not watched the entirety of Traitor's recent season episode 4 and don't want to know what happens in it, then turn this off right now because I'm about to go and hit the end part of this episode by saying I am so mad right now. Bob the drag queen has been removed from the show and
obliterated, decimated, shot out of a cannon.
The rage I feel knows no bounds. Okay. Mm-hmm. First, last season, they get rid of Bananas first and then Peppermint. Okay. Mm-hmm. And now we're only 4 episodes in. I am rejoicing. I am shouting from the rooftop, screaming that Bob the drag queen, my absolute God, is a traitor. So I'm like, that means Bob's going to be around for a long time. We get the first few episodes, Bob is crushing. Bob is crushing as a traitor. The ITM's giving us everything we want. We need the round tables. The best part of the round tables is Bob.
Only one person thought it was, you know what I mean? Dylan was kind of alone too. There really wasn't anyone who backed him up.
Boston Rob, I need you to know this and hear me good, my friend, okay? Back many years ago when I watched part of one of your seasons of Survivor with my father, I went, oh my gosh, who is that absolute cutie from Boston? Mm-hmm. I reject you now.
Oh, wow.
Okay? You've lost rejected.
The crush, dude.
It's gone forever.
The end of your career.
So I guess you can say goodbye to your career, Boston Rob, because I no longer find you attractive.
Because personality matters more than looks.
And that's a fact.
Yeah.
And that's a fact.
You have shown. You got rid of my friend who. I'm not actually friends with
my friend who doesn't know who I am.
But my
my best friend, Bob the drag queen, you betrayed.
I think.
Oh, Evan, I am. I love this show. And of course, you know, we're in for the long haul with these recaps. But like when this happened, Ember and I watched this episode together and we both kind of looked at each other and we're like, I guess we're done. I guess we're done watching this show.
It was.
Because, oh God, Bob just made the show so. Good.
Yeah, he was incredible for sure. Yes, there's no question. What's so crazy to me is how the whole thing went down on what kind of is seemingly a mistake, like on his part, like that Bob, I don't think Bob even realized, like at first I thought, whoa, we'll get into it.
Okay. But
his mistake he made during the game.
During the mission.
Yes. I thought, whoa, was that a shot? And, you know, because obviously Rob took it that way. And then kind of Bob bouncing around before the whole thing being like, I feel great about tonight. No worries.
No.
I realized like, oh, he didn't realize what he said.
No, I think it just was like, I think when Bob was at the mission and kind of made, I think it was a comment, maybe, you know, when your nerves are popping off. And I think when Bob threw out the comment, you know, we think it's one of the new guys in Bob's head, probably thinking Wes, Derek, not putting two and two together that it's Boston Rob is part of that crew. Yes. But then Boston Rob clearly never mess with that guy, because Boston Rob went from being like, hey, we got to keep the traitors together, to Bob the drag queen makes one comment and Boston Rob goes on a mission and decimates Bob in the period of 2 hours. He flips the script like I have never seen, to which I must admit, okay, and this takes a lot for me to admit, as much as, like I said, the rage I felt was unparalleled at the end of this episode, it was one of the best episodes of Traitors I've ever seen. Like, it shocked and dismayed me. That round table was so unreal. I couldn't even believe it.
I never saw, I've only seen like some of Game of Thrones, uh-huh. You know, like maybe like five or six
yeah,
episodes.
Yeah, I never was a watcher. Yeah.
But, you know, I do remember seeing clips of like that Red Wedding.
You know what I mean? When
out of nowhere, like just the person just wrecks everybody. And it did have that energy where like Bob was just like, I'm at the family ball. And then all of a sudden everyone's just like, and it was just like, what just happened? But let's get into it because obviously we're already talking about this and I want to get into the details of what happened.
Okay.
So I do feel like there's...
I just think that I need a moment of silence for grief. Can you just give me a moment of silence for grief?
You know what? I've never been good at that. I've never been good at kind of allowing people to just have their space. So you know what? You're right. And I apologize.
Let me give a moment of silence for my grief.
Moment of silence for her grief.
Oh, I love you.
What's
so
the appropriate amount of time? Yeah.
Okay. I don't know, but just...
I know. Well, what's sad to more than anything, like you said, is just his personality in the show.
Well, as Boston Rob said during the roundtable, it's the person that everyone loves.
Yes.
Bob, you know, Bob brought a sense of energy to that mm-hmm. house. Like Bob, day one comes in and is like supporting the different crews of mm-hmm. people. Bob's mm-hmm. energy is electric.
Yes.
Like that house is going to be sad and quiet and dark and dismal.
Yeah.
And I think the energy that's going to take over the castle now yeah. is going to be a dark energy. Like I think it's going to start getting real nasty because Bob brought a specific vibe to the group and it's going to be gone.
Yeah, I feel like Bob was one of the few that like just liked the game of it all and was like yes. playful in it as opposed to like anxious in it. And I feel like most mm-hmm. people are just anxious in it. They're kind of like, I really don't want to go home yeah. as opposed to just like, let's have fun. And I think it comes from all, you know, Bob's experiences with like all the D&D stuff and the shows he's been on. It's like he, you know, Bob's just got this ability to kind of be in the thick of it while just having fun and having the personality. And I think that brought a lightness and a fun, and he would just say crazy stuff. And you know what I mean? It was just all, it wasn't like anxious vibes with
well,
him.
You know, last episode I said that Dylan Efron was enemy number one.
Yeah.
Now Boston Rob is enemy number one and Dylan is a close second, though Dylan is kind of a genius. And
he's
talk about
super
that.
Smart.
And it really, I got to admit it, but Boston Rob is now enemy number one, but Dylan's a close second and Dylan just really, it's going to be a rough turn for Dylan because now Dylan is the protege of Boston Rob and he's very excited about being the protege and Boston Rob is going to ruin his life.
He literally said at the end of the episode, like, I can't wait to use this guy all the way to the end and then kill him.
Boston,
I mean, he is.
And Dylan, on the other hand, Dylan was like, oh man, the fact that I get to be part with the OG, the king of Survivor. Now he loves me. He trusts me. Dylan is like a lovesick puppy following Boston Rob around and Boston Rob is going to just throw him to the wayside.
But I will say, you know, with everything that went down, I do feel like it was a powerful, strong move, impressive to the highest degrees.
Wild.
But one thing I will say is that it just put him major target on his back.
Well,
now everyone's kind of, what's up with this guy that comes out
gonna,
of nowhere? And there's a lot
going on. I was
going to
say, I think
now.
A lot of people now worship at the feet of Boston Rob,
which also causes the enemies.
But who we have coming in for the win is Wes at the end,
right.
putting two and two together, being the game player he is. Wes.
Well, and creating two new enemies with his fellow traitors. Like he's got,
true.
You know what I mean? So
very
it's like,
true.
Sure, he's got some allies, but now he's really got some like absolute people who will do anything to like not, because like we got Danielle who's like devastated. First of all, Danielle, I do agree that you're sad that like he went after Bob, but you also, like you're like a Judas who's just sad Jesus died. It's a little bit like, okay, well, you did kind of join.
You put Bob's name out there.
It's like you were
there.
One of the guys, you know, you mean you were one of the people who like stabbed
yeah,
him
A2
also.
Brute. Yeah, it's like, well,
like other people didn't vote for Bob, just like you didn't have to.
Yep.
You know what
yep.
I mean? So you're like, you feel guilt. And then you're like, it's all because of Rob a little bit. And it's like, well, you could have easily not voted for him.
But Wes needs to, Danielle and Carolyn need to get a hold of Wes. That's what needs to happen next. They need to kind of merge with Wes.
I think
that's what needs to happen.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to get into, like, I mean, we're already in it, but let's get it from the top of this episode
timeline.
But I do want to say this. I feel like the past few episodes, it's just like, I need to timestamp.
Right,
we're releasing this on a Tuesday. We're recording this numerous days before. You know, I am, panic attack anxiety spiral because the inauguration is coming up. It will have happened by the time we release this. There's more wind apparently coming to Los Angeles and there's warnings about that. So I don't know. I feel the need to just timestamp this and say it's coming out Tuesday. We recorded it a few days before, just as a heads up. But you know, per usual, like we've been talking about, as I'm sitting here like wildly anxious. So apologies in advance if my energy is on edge. And then you add the loss of my God, Bob, to it. But we want to, you know, take the time and have our deep breath. So deep breath, family.
Another deep breath.
And we're going to dive into this wild, wild,
silly, fun,
episode,
stupid stuff.
And do it together.
Yes.
And have a silly, fun time in a hand-holding circle together.
Yes, absolutely.
Because we love you all so very much. But before we dive in to the episode, we got to take a quick pause. So family, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. You know, 2025 so far, huh? 2025 so far. But I mean, obviously, the top of the year, we did talk about resolutions or ins and outs. Like, for example, for myself, one of my ins was trying to find more romance in life, just like basic romantic feelings in life, maybe through more reading, if that's possible, or more musicals or singing lessons, just sweet things like that.
Or what she's been doing, which is singing karaoke in our house.
Yes. We got a karaoke machine for Christmas, and I've been doing that for hours. Yes. It's been very healing. I mean, but every January really does bring you 365 blank pages waiting to be filled. In 2025, maybe you're ready for a plot twist, or maybe there's a part of your story you've been wanting to revise, whether it's big or small. Life isn't about resolutions that fade by February. It's simply about picking up the pen and becoming the author of your own life. Again, even if it's just a small scribble, you know? Think of therapy as your editorial partner, helping you write new chapters and create the meaningful story you deserve to live. I like thinking about therapy that way. And I'll tell you what, so far in 2025, been extremely grateful for my therapist. And if you are looking to dive into therapy yourself this year, give BetterHelp a try.
Yes, you all know how much therapy has benefited both Jess and I over the years, helped us personally as a couple, as parents and kids ourselves.
Yeah,
it's helped me learn a lot about why I respond to certain things the way I do, why I shut down. It's helped me develop better boundaries in life and also develop better coping skills. I'm so, so grateful for therapy. BetterHelp is fully online, making therapy affordable and convenient, serving over 5 million people worldwide. Access a diverse network of more than 30,000 credentialed therapists with a wide range of specialties and easily switch therapists anytime at no extra cost.
Something I appreciate so much about BetterHelp is how accessible they make it with the busyness of life, making sure you prioritize taking care of you. It just can be tough, but BetterHelp's online-only model makes scheduling and taking appointments that much easier. Write your story with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/momdad to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/momdad. All right, let's get into episode 4 of season 3 of Traitors. I have my scroll here again that I took notes on.
Why did you do that?
Well, because I kind of liked it last time.
Oh, so you just kind of liked it.
There was just kind of something about it that
parchment?
I liked. Yeah, a little bit. It was just, you know, I felt, I don't know, important.
You know what's funny? It kind of reminds me of people in like school.
Yeah.
Who like loved taking notes? Were
yes.
you one of those people?
I did like taking notes.
So you liked having the sheet all nice.
Yes. Again, I can't really understand my notes very well because my writing is my handwriting is so bad. But I will say for one episode, I took like 17 pages of notes because of how big the font that I write in.
Yes,
so
she writes old grandma
as we
font.
As we discussed last time.
That.
Okay, so... We start off this episode because we had a cliffhanger in episode 3 where the four traitors are in that like wine cellar hidden room.
Right.
And Gabby is standing there. Now, with the angle of like how they were showing it, we weren't quite sure if she was it looked like she was looking directly at the cabinet. Turns out it doesn't seem like she was, because she said she hears Danielle's voice.
Mm.
So even though it looked like Gabby had like a full front row seat to them opening up this book cabinet, it didn't necessarily appear that way.
Well, no, but I think what happened was Gabby walked in. I think she like sees that the door's open or that it's opening, walks out because she goes, I don't want them to see.
Yes,
she said, I don't want to be seen.
Smart. Very smart. And because she's like, they're going to off me.
So
yeah.
I just will listen to see what kind of voices I hear, and then I can kind of make my decision. Because if she would have been waiting there and then all the traders see her.
By the way, I can't believe
in the moment to have that thought is actually like low key genius.
It's very smart because she's right. It's like if they would have seen her,
like the enemy, you know what I mean?
It would have been like, we got to get rid of Gabby because she saw us for sure.
It's like in every gangster movie, you know what I mean? They're like, I didn't see you.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what I mean? Like, you've already seen us, kid.
I just think it's so funny that Gabby walks away and is like, yeah, the voice I heard was Danielle's. And I'm like, okay, so you heard Danielle's voice, but you didn't hear Caroline's voice? You didn't recognize that coming out of the book cabinet going, oh my God, this is crazy, everybody.
Yeah, this is a secret passageway.
Like, you heard Danielle's voice and you didn't clock Carolyn's voice?
And like, then she got caught, like not caught, but like then she was like basically like, in the next hallway, they were like, oh, what's up, Gabby? She's like, oh, what's up, guys? Like,
she played it very well, though.
But then it was really weird how, like, it kind of died there.
Well, roughly. We'll talk
it's
about
like,
that
how
because.
How did that not grow into something much bigger?
We'll talk about that because it went down when they went to breakfast the next day.
Right.
And I was surprised.
She got thrown off the scent, like, so fast.
So fast.
I'm like,
maybe it'll be regurgitated again.
Yeah.
Maybe if Danielle's name gets floated a little bit more, it'll be regurgitated.
When we talk about that, I do have a thought, though. So.
Okay. All right. Well. She hears Danielle. Mm-hmm. She sees the bookcase open. She's like, I don't want them to see me. I don't want them to off me. But Dylan is smelling around like a bloodhound. Mm-hmm. This man is floating around through the castle. And we saw it beforehand in episode 3 where he's like, something is not right.
Yes.
Something is amiss.
Yes.
He's like Miss Clavel from Madeline. Mm-hmm. Something is not right. Sniffing around the house. This man is so smart that he goes into the secret book case.
Yes.
Into the wine cellar and is like, something's different.
So he had been there, obviously, and some people didn't know about it existed.
But the vibe that I get from him is that clearly this man is extremely intelligent. And the second he got to the castle, he started like casing the castle. Like he went through every corner he could find. And maybe it was in, my memory is now a little funky, but I think that bookcase was in the last few seasons. So like maybe he was looking
maybe
for
he
it,
was
knows
there.
It's there. He examines it. But, you know, he scaled that castle top to bottom beforehand. And so then when he walked in there and he's like, something's wrong. I can smell traitorous behavior and something is misplaced.
What I thought was genius was like, yes, there's that. But he said something super specific that I was like, whoa, is he goes, I think we're too late.
Yeah.
Like, what does that even mean? You just kind of got the sense something had just happened in here and then you're too late. Like
he's like,
I don't even know
it.
What's going on, but something's going on and we're too late.
Yeah.
And it's like, even just to pick up that, like there's a time thing.
A detective force should hire him. What I felt about Dylan when I was watching him in that wine cellar, I was like, where I do resonate with this man. Big escape room energy.
I was going to say, big escape room.
Dylan, maybe like me, does escape rooms alone.
I think
he's probably better at them than me, which is hard for me to admit. But the way he was looking around that wine cellar was giving big escape room. He was like pushing things.
Like,
he was rearranging things.
He was like, I need a hint. Like, he's like, a hint.
I need a clue.
Huh? He's like, sorry, I just. Used to a voice from God telling me what to do.
But that was
that's a reference,
wild.
By the way. If you guys never done escape rooms, you can ask for a hint and the person watching you guys, they can pipe in their
voice.
Which,
we always try to do the least amount of hints.
You try to do the least,
possible.
But every once in a while
you need it. But Danielle goes in with him.
Smart.
Which was very smart.
She's kind of like, what's going on in here?
She's like, oh, I've never been here before. Interesting, interesting. So then they're scoping it. And then Bob goes in it and a few other people go in, which was a very good move to make it look like they're investigating it, like they've never seen it before. Because then later when we have the breakfast and the wine cellar secret room gets brought up, whatever, we had a few people like Danielle and Bob who could say, well, yeah, we were in there.
Right.
But like, everyone was going
sure,
in there.
Sure.
Get numbers in there quick. Everybody come check it out. Everybody pile on and let's have a dance party in the secret room here. Okay.
Yes.
Then Alan does the bell ringing, gives us a gorgeous limerick or sonnet.
Right, right.
And lets them know about the short list, the short murder list that went down, where three people are going to be in these coffins, which... insane, by the way.
Yeah, hopefully you don't have like a major phobia of being buried alive or whatever.
This is so
claustrophobia.
I'm like, this is so out of pocket. Literally, three coffins, put them in. And but of course, when they were doing the nailing of the coffins, I doubt that they were in there because that is too extreme. But there was enough time in there where they had cameras and they had to sit in there, which also made me think about an escape room. I once did an escape room, you did it with me, where there was a part where you have to... one of the players has to get into a coffin-like box and they close the lid on you, family. And after they close the lid, the bottom drops out.
Right.
And you roll underneath the escape room and pop up in another closed-in box.
Very cool.
Very cool. I was...
very
trying
scary.
Not to panic.
Yeah, it's...
you and Ember were figuring out the escape room, and I was like, if you guys don't figure this out in like about 3 minutes and I'm stuck in this situation, I'm gonna lose my mind. So I had that for a few minutes where I was closed into a little cabinet, and I didn't do so well.
Right,
I was not doing well, and so I was just thinking of these people, and I'm like, my gosh, so intense.
I know, but it was very theatrical. That's what we love about the show.
It was very theatrical. But by the way, Alan lets them know, which is a huge factor in this. Alan lets them know, hey, everybody, there could be traitors in here too. So the traitors were told that they could put faithfuls and traitors, which I like that they let Alan say that because it added for suspicion.
I was kind of shocked they didn't throw a traitor in there.
I think
I was a little bit like, oh, just three innocents.
Yes. I do think ultimately it was smart though.
Because people will then assume there must be one in
there. Well, immediately that's what everybody did.
Yeah.
That's what everybody did. And so it was actually a very smart move to be like, no, let's not put any of
us in
there. That's
what made Nikki on the chopping block, right?
Yeah. And Sierra.
That's true. Yeah.
So the three people that are put into these coffins are Jeremy, Nikki, and Sierra. And as they're laying there, Alan allows them to have final words. Now, you know, Nikki's a little bit like, hey, I've got the muscle. I can help out. Please let me help out. I can help win more money for you, which I thought was a good argument.
Yeah.
Sierra is like, you know, fuck you, traitors. I'm going to find you.
You know, like another gangster movie thing is like, you ever notice in some of those movies, the guy who's like getting captured, he's like, I'm going to kill. They're like, tell us the truth. And he's like, I'm going to kill you. It's like, dude, you're not, bro. You're like chained to a chair. Like, it's always like Sarah's like, I'm going to get you when I get out of here.
Yeah, I'm going to go and get you.
That's not really a good negotiating tactic. Makes you look a little more maybe faithfully.
See, what was so interesting to me
makes is worse or
everyone
better.
Everyone stuck to what Sierra said and said the way she responded felt like a traitor.
To beg for your life when we know you're real.
And I'm like, I didn't think there was anything off about the way Sierra handled it. It was so surprising to me. And I felt like everyone was really trying to like find something because I'm like, I don't know if I'd be in that situation. I would have maybe done something like that. I wouldn't have been like, oh my God, please, traitor, save me. I'd be like, I'm out for you. I would totally do something like that. So I don't get why everyone was like, that was weird.
I also think there is some sort of like underlying, like nobody likes Sierra.
Yeah, I don't know what's
because
going on.
Tom said something the next day. He's like, well, she's not doing herself any favors. Bob says like, well.
Yeah, but they have the Bravo Connect. And I'm sure Sierra's friends with Ariana.
But I'm just saying like Bob said, you know, you talk shit, you get bit, talking about her.
I think he was talking about the being in the coffin and her talking shit towards the traitors.
Yeah, maybe. It was just, you know, I don't know. I just get an energy.
No,
that,
I know.
Like no one likes her. And even like, you know, what's his name later was like, oh yeah, you just use constant profanity and that's like, I don't, there's something about her and her dynamic that makes me feel like she's not well liked.
I know. Which
I can't
is
tell
so,
exactly what it is, but it does
so
feel like
surprising
that.
To me because I know in like I don't know a lot about Sierra, but I know in the Bravoverse she's like very beloved.
Right.
I think the vibe that I've gotten from her, at least from what we've seen, because we haven't seen a ton of her until this episode, it seems like maybe she just kind of keeps to herself a little bit. So they're not like people aren't like maybe connecting with her versus
maybe,
you know, there's the Bambies.
Yeah.
So they've got each other's back. And then there's like the Survivor crew. So she's a little bit maybe lone wolf energy. She's the only one from like Summer Winter House. She doesn't seem like in with the housewives from Bravo. So there's a little bit of like a floater. So it's like, oh, it's easier to come for somebody who we don't have an emotional connection with yet. Mm-hmm. That's kind of the vibe that I'm getting.
Yeah.
But then the final plea was from Jeremy. And Jeremy says, traitors.
I loved it. His was my favorite. It was insane.
He goes, traitors, keep me around. I'll help you.
Yeah.
And I was like, what happens if they keep you? That was so.
It was just
Jeremy
such a
is,
desperate move. It was amazing.
Jeremy
it was
is like, clearly. Like, like, Jeremy is clearly such a great player.
Right. Because he smelled out Danielle immediately.
Oh, yeah. Jeremy's a great player. But I did not get that because I'm like, what happens if they keep you?
Yeah, now you're
then
like
all the other traitors are looking at you being like, are you sharing secrets
right.
with the traitors?
It was like a panic move just to like survive one more day.
It's like, I promise we'll do your homework for you if you keep me around,
I'll give you all
man.
The secrets. You're like, okay, well, the guys whose secrets you're giving are right over there.
It's like,
it was very bizarre.
Yeah, I did not know. I guess when you're in that situation, it's a little bit like, what do I say?
Nikki had the best response by being like, I'm going to win you more money. I'm
I
athletic,
agree.
Whatever.
What would you have said if you were a faithful in those coffins?
Oof.
I'd be like, I'll dance for you.
Yeah, I'd probably be, I'll sing for you. La da da. I'll paint for you. Just I'll dance for you is insane.
You're not gonna like it because it's not very good, but I'll dance for you.
He's there like, okay. Actually pretty good. And they're like, honestly, it's pretty good. We should keep him around.
It would be really, it might not be a bad move to do something.
If Ember was in this show, she'd absolutely be like, I'll dance for you. And like, it wouldn't be, she's like not, it wouldn't be funny to her. She'd be like, oh yeah, let me try this.
Oh, she'd do a full solo.
She's like, do you know tap?
She'll be like, the sun will come out tomorrow.
Yeah, she'll jump on top of the casket and then tap on the wood.
And box step and 1-2,
yeah,
1-2.
She knows one move.
It might not actually be a bad move if you're in there to do something really funny.
Yeah.
To do something like, well,
they'd probably
I'll
cut
sing
it.
For
they'd probably
you.
Cut it because they want the show to kind of have a dark vibe. I'll do your taxes.
So what would you say?
Oh my God. Now it's in my head. Like, oh, what would I say? I'd probably say, you know, probably something like Nikki said, something like just kind of generic.
You'd be like, hey, everybody, I've got this crazy brute strength that
you
won't even know
so
what to deal
strong.
With. And it's crazy how strong I am and I'll be able to lift shit for you, all of you. I'll be able to hold your burdens physically and emotionally.
Oh, my God. You could talk to me about anything, traitors. I'll keep my hood on. You can come upstairs. Tell me
I would imagine
going on.
That if you're a traitor, that like that's a lot of pressure and like you probably need to talk to somebody and like I'll be your shoulder to cry on.
Honestly, like you're probably so horny right now because it's been
oh
a while.
God,
I will sleep with all of you. Probably something like that. You guys are so horny right now. I will sleep with whoever to get to the top. That's a good way. Actually, that's a good one because if you
say that you sleep
with
all
sleep
of them,
with anyone, is like that's good because it's not gameplay and it's not helping them. It's just purely sexual. You know what I mean? So it's like cool. We all get off and we go back to the game.
All get so out of pocket.
But it's not saying I'll help you with anything. It's just saying I'll help you with extracurricular needs.
Well, I don't know what I would say.
You already said it. You'd dance for them.
Well, yeah, maybe. But like genuinely what I would say, I think, I don't know. I could see myself pulling a Sierra. I could see myself
and just
being
like,
trying
to prove how faithful
I'd
you
be
are.
Like, hey, listen, I'm going to come for all of you. I'm going to make your lives miserable. You don't want to get rid of me. Well, no, then you would want to get rid of me, I suppose.
Yeah, you gotta sleep with everybody.
maybe I could just say something like, hey, you know what? I don't think I'm the right choice for you to get rid of. Like, I'm still really trying to figure out this game.
Right.
And I don't really know or have any...
I'm scared.
I'm like, I don't have any hints, clues, yeah, ideas as to who might be a traitor.
No.
So if you're going to get rid of somebody, maybe you should get rid of someone who actually knows how to game play and not me.
Right.
You know,
yeah,
maybe
know.
Something like that.
Maybe
that would make me sound like a traitor, though.
Yeah, they'd be like, this, you're like just talking too much.
Like, this person's trying to make it sound like...
You're like, when I was a child...
I just want to be really vulnerable and let you all know that this is really hard.
If you get rid of me, I'll be really sad and you'll be responsible for that.
Maybe I'd do that.
Yeah.
Maybe I'd be like, I really don't want to go.
I'm going through a lot right now. And you just like.
Or just pull like the genuine, like, I really don't want to go yet. This was a long flight over from Scotland.
This has been really fun.
I turned down a couple work opportunities. I'm having a great time with everybody. Whether you're a faithful or a traitor, I'm having a really good time with you. Like, please don't get rid of me. That's it. That's it.
Sob story.
Play the friend card with everybody. I'm just having a great time. This is such a fun game. Please don't get rid of me. I don't want to go home yet.
Yeah.
I'm not ready to be back with my husband. I'm just kidding.
Exactly. I just, please don't send me back to my family. Please. I told them 8 weeks.
So now I'm just going to have to book some random vacation and figure out how to let them know when the show airs.
And
that, like,
lie, tell them that, like, I almost won, but I got cut right at the last minute. And then the show comes out and I'll have to hide it from them for years. I said I needed a break.
Anywho, let's keep diving into this, but we need to take another quick pause, family. So I know as we are watching Traitors, we see them served this glorious buffet every single morning, okay? But IRL, we all know how mealtimes can go. And specifically, parents, hear me, as a parent, I don't need to tell you how busy you are. Our next partner makes mealtime for kids much easier and much more enjoyable. I'm talking about Nurture Life. This podcast is sponsored by Nurture Life. Listen, over the years of our sweet kiddo, since she was little, she can be a very particular eater. Okay, a very particular eater. And from the jump, attempting to introduce better, healthier foods was... I'll just say it's always been a challenge.
It's a challenge.
Yes, it's always been a challenge. And I am so beyond grateful that when Ember was around 2 years old, we discovered Nurture Life. Game changer for us, family, okay? She loved everything from Nurture Life and would absolutely lick the plate clean. So simultaneously, it made mealtime easier with the busyness of life. And she was diving into these healthy foods and loving them. It was just... been amazing. It's so good. Nurture Life is a meal delivery service focused on helping busy parents easily feed their babies and kids from 10 months old to 10 years old. The company provides fresh meals and snacks that are delicious, nutritious, and fully cooked, family, okay? That means they are ready to serve in just 1 minute. Game changer.
Ember loves Nurture Life. She gets so stoked when she sees a delivery from them arrive. Nurture Life lets kids enjoy a healthy, nutritionally balanced diet while still eating all their favorites like mac and cheese, spaghetti and meatballs, and much, much more. So parents can be sure there's always something on the menu that their little ones will love. That's why Nurture Life is the top meal delivery service for babies and kids, and it is even allergy friendly too. So how does Nurture Life work? It's simple. Select from over 50 varieties of nutritious, balanced meals on their weekly menu, from finger foods for babies and toddlers to kids' meals for older kids. Then Nurture Life does the cooking for you, and the fresh meals are delivered straight to your door in refrigerated packaging.
I mean, family, could it be easier? No, it's easy. It's delicious. Your kids will love it. I will rave for forever about Nurture Life. And I love that Nurture Life's meals are made fresh every week, so they aren't frozen like some of the other meal kits, right? Last time we used Nurture Life was this morning. Mm-hmm. So often we use it. Ember ate their French toast sticks with scrambled eggs. It's her favorite. Try to take her to a restaurant, family, and give her French toast. She will immediately be like, it's not as good as Nurture Life. So that she just wants the Nurture Life French toast. And by the way, along with full meal options, the Nurture Life menu includes on-the-go snacks and superfood smoothies so kids can eat well no matter what they're in the mood to eat. Their on-the-go snacks are an absolute go-to for Ember. She loves them. So what are you waiting for? Head to nurturelife.com and use code MOMDAD for 55% off your first order. That's right, 55% off. Once again, that's nurturelife.com. And make sure to use our promo code MOMDAD so that they know that we sent you. Even if you aren't a parent with young kids, but you know someone who is, make sure to share our code and then our show gets the credit. And we so appreciate you all. But again, 55% off. I'm telling you, fam, Nurture Life is amazing. Been using it for years with Ember. You got to try it out. Okay, back to traitors. All right, so then we get the traitors where they make the decision on who it was. They're literally nailing the nails into the coffin. Very intense.
Right.
It was just very intense. I was sweating. Bob's saying that they're eating. Bob's like, we're absolutely eating. Everyone's confused. It's chaos. And I will say in that moment, I think they did eat with that decision. Those three, I think it was a good call.
I agree. I agree.
Carolyn is like, I'm not happy about Jeremy because it's my survivor family and I feel like I'm betraying him. So then she
was crying about it too.
Yeah. Well, there's the kind survivor connection. I feel like maybe I'm not remembering correctly, but I feel like at the very beginning of the show, Carolyn introduced herself to Jeremy and Tony. So right. It's not like they were like
you're crying about the fact that you know each other online or something. You're like,
I don't even know if they like really knew each other online. It was just like, oh, she felt then the guilt of having the survivor connection that, you know, there's another survivor player that's, you know.
But Jeremy was the only one kind of smelling people.
You know what I mean?
Like he was coming after Danielle made it clear. She's like, by the way, he's smelling me. We have to get rid of him.
Danielle was like, there's no ifs, ands, or buts. Rob was kind of like, whatever. But so the next morning, the people are coming in. They're throwing around some ideas. Robin cracks me up because Robin's always wrong. Robin is wrong every single
time.
There's
always one of these people that like are they just think that they kind of get it and they're always wrong.
Robin's like, listen, I think Nikki and Jeremy are traitors.
It's like, you haven't even like, guessed someone wrong right yet.
And not just that, anytime a traitor's name gets floated, Robin's like, no, it's definitely not them.
They put two traitors in there.
That would have been wild.
What if they would have put all three and then got rid of one? That would have been stupid.
Sorry. Actually, putting two traitors in.
That's aggressive.
Would have been a wild
move. Aggressive.
Maybe it would have been genius.
But just to be like, I think it's two. It's like, gosh, like over what?
Why?
Yeah, she is funny with that.
Well, Gabby then tells them about the night before where she heard Danielle. Robin promptly is like, Danielle is absolutely not a traitor. Danielle's way too emotional in this game.
Yes.
Again, Gabby, there's a person floating, a potential traitor, and Robin's like, no, definitely not. Definitely not them.
Gabby's definitely like, I feel like she has the superpower of, like we talked about this before, but it's like, she is really smart and she's starting to kind of get it. And, you know, she plays willfully ignorant over certain things, but then she's like starting to like, we need to start putting some of these clues together. I'm starting to smell some things out. But her voice disarms everyone to assume that she just has no idea what she's talking about, because she has this like just high pitched voice that makes everyone think, well, she's not a threat.
Yeah,
it's like a superpower.
It really is. And that's why I think, and I've said from the get that I think she's gonna crush in this game.
Yeah, I think she'll go pretty far.
Now the only thing I'm nervous about is at the very end, Dylan is like, I think Gabby's one of the traitors.
That's true. I forgot about that.
And so I'm nervous, see, because, you know, and obviously Dylan's wrong, but in Dylan's brilliance, he smells how smart Gabby is.
Yeah.
That's the thing. And what I think what Dylan's reading is that Gabby's way more of a game player than she appears, but wrong about the traitor part. But exactly. He does smell that there is something that it's like, Gabby is sharp.
Yep.
And so let's not ignore how sharp Gabby is.
Also, Gabby hasn't gone along with anyone else's theories.
No, not
that.
Really.
I mean, she doesn't really jump
small
on
pockets of theories
as much. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah. Well, Robin then brings up, once everyone is in the room except for the three potential people who were off, Robin brings up the bookcase.
Yeah.
And just puts it out there and was like, so Gabby heard some voices coming out of the bookcase. What's going on? What's the deal? Who was in there? And Danielle, I didn't know if Danielle was going to be honest or not. And I think Danielle made the correct move of saying, I was in there with Dylan and we were checking it out.
See, that was a brilliant move.
That's what I'm saying.
Because she put herself in there with Dylan.
Yep.
That's what I love. And then Dylan's like, yeah, I was in there too. And then like some other people kind of jump in who weren't traitors being like, yeah, we were in there too.
Well, and then Bob says, yeah, and kind of looks at them and goes, yeah, I mean, well, everybody was talking about that bookcase and everyone went and checked it out last night. But, like, I don't know what you're talking about.
But what it was, whether she meant to do it or not, what was brilliant about her, including Dylan, was just it kind of set off everyone saying we were there, as opposed to letting it simmer and then watching Danielle and Bob and all these people kind of go, well, how are we going to address this?
Yeah.
But she just kind of jumped right in and was, yeah, me and Dylan. And no one thinks Dylan's a traitor. So it was just kind of this like, and then all of a sudden everyone jumps in. Oh, I was there too. I was there too. And then Gabby kind of, you could tell Gabby was almost pissed that Robin did it in the way that she did. It was like, Gabby's like, we had a real moment there where we could have discovered something.
But after Gabby heard everything, she was like, oh, bummer. Never mind then.
Right.
So it seemed to then Gabby's like, oh, I guess that hunch was off. Do you think that she's let it go completely?
I think she let it go, unfortunately.
I'm bummed out. I think she's let it go, too.
She's like, well, I guess it totally debunked me. And yeah. I feel like she should have kind of not given up so quickly on, like, why were people in this secret room that half the people didn't know about?
I think she should have not...
At least stick with Danielle.
I think she should have made it clear, like, do not address this to the group.
Right.
Like, even though I did... You know what? Now that I think about it, I feel like Gabby did say, like, hey, this stays here. And then Robin was like...
She did.
And Robin's like, hey!
Yeah, Robin just again with the horrible moves. Love you, Robin. I'm sure you're great, but God, you're bad at this game.
Now, you were saying, you know, everybody hears then Dylan's in there and they're like, oh, Dylan, it's fine then because Dylan's not a traitor. I think because Dylan is the new Pilot Pete, you know how during Pilot Pete's season, they were like, hey, the traitors offered Pilot Pete a position to be the traitor.
Yeah.
And Pilot Pete was like, I could never betray my people.
Right.
If they get an opportunity as the traitors to recruit another traitor, they've got to recruit Dylan. Dylan would be a fantastic traitor. Now, I don't know about Boston Rob might not want to do it because he might want to use Dylan to the very end. But I feel like the difference between Pilot Pete and Dylan is I feel like Dylan loves this game in a different way. And I think Dylan would be down to be a traitor. And I think, man, and I think.
So you think, because, you know, obviously, what's his name? Didn't he got recruited and then
Pilot
refused.
Pete was just like, I am too much of a white knight.
The best. I am a good person, I promise. That I wonder if he would be in the same thing. Like, I like playing this game as, but, you know, it would be.
I think Dylan would be down to be a traitor.
He'd be a great traitor because he's already legitimately proven he's not a traitor by going after Bob
from
episode
day
one.
Yes.
Then Bob ends up becoming a traitor. So they know for a fact that it's nearly impossible for him to have been a traitor this whole time because he would have been in the turrets like trying to get Bob out.
Correct. And
so it's a guaranteed faithful.
And I think Dylan, there's some people that when they go from faithful to traitor kind of panic and don't know how to
act. That's what I was going
to
say, that do you change your personality?
I don't think he would.
You think he'd be good?
I think Dylan is pretty brilliant. And I think he plays off, even at the very end when Dolores was like, you're so smart and wonderful. He's like, oh, if only I could talk. And I'm like, Dylan, shut up. You can talk. And you know you
can
talk.
But I also think that's a part of his brilliance, is he's going, I'm not the Bob. I'm not the Rob. I don't have the ability to control a room. But I am smart enough to understand the concept.
But I do think he can talk. And he downplays himself in a smart way to be like, oh,
be self-deprecating so that you kind of continue.
I'm not great at addressing the round table. And it's like, no, you are, though. You've brought up a lot of great points and you're a decent arguer. So
interesting.
I don't know.
Interesting.
I think Dylan would be a brilliant, brilliant move. By the way, brilliant move on Bob the Drag Queen's part, in my humble opinion, is when they're sitting there at breakfast and they're talking about, like, who do you think the traitor's off?
Yeah.
Bob then at the breakfast table was like, I think that it's going to be Sierra. Like you said, she talked shit. They're going to off her because of that. And I thought it was so smart for Bob to predict the wrong person vocally at the table.
Yes.
Smart.
I agree.
Instead of just not saying anything and being like, well, I don't know, maybe, da da da. It's like fully predicts the wrong person is like, it's got to be Sierra.
Right. Right.
Smart.
It was smart. It was.
Well, they got rid of Jeremy.
Yes.
Now, by the way, in the ITMs, I was so sad. Jeremy's like, goodbye made me feel really
sad.
You
can tell he's like a really sweet guy.
He just seems like a really wonderful person.
Yeah, really sweet.
And then they were talking about how he's a firefighter, which, like, shout out right now, especially, like, oh my God, the firefighters, like, my God.
Big time.
But I remember now that I was thinking about it, that, like, I feel like he said at the beginning that he's, like, wanting to win the cash money to, like, help provide for his family. Because I'm like, I guess this guy, it's like, you know, he won Survivor.
Sure.
But he has, like, this intense job.
Right.
And he's trying to provide for his family.
Yeah, he just doesn't seem like a game player. Like Wes. Oh, man. You know, Wes, Rob, those guys seem to be really into the game. Jeremy just seems like a nice guy.
I know.
That's like also happens who's to like be a brilliant pretty, game pretty player. Good at the game player. But he doesn't seem to be conniving at all. Like, he's not like, trying to get people out. He's just trying to find the traitors.
I'm like so sad during the ITMs. Right. I was actually devastated.
He's never presenting a bunch of like, you know, he's just kind of like seems like a nice guy that like likes being there.
I know. And he loved Bob too.
I know.
But that's when then everyone's a little bit like,
something's up.
When Nikki and Sierra come in. Mm-hmm. And that's then when they're asking like, well, Nikki, what did you hear? And Danielle starts asking specific like, so Nikki, did you hear, were the footsteps light? Must be a woman. And Nikki starts grinding. She's like, I remember Jeremy said to watch out for Danielle and he thinks that Danielle's a traitor.
Yeah.
And Danielle's asking me an awful lot of questions. So I do think that Danielle will be up on the chopping block next, unless Wes has a big crusade to get rid of Boston Rob and like then unites kind of with Danielle.
Right.
I think Danielle might be the
Danielle's
next one.
Danielle's had quite a few people now.
They might have actually a couple weeks of getting rid of numerous traitors.
Yeah.
Because if Nikki's processing Danielle, there's a few people who are suspicious of Danielle.
Gabby even mentioned Danielle. Jeremy mentioned
Wes
Danielle.
And then Wes is sus of Boston Rob, and Danielle and Carolyn are wanting to get rid of Boston Rob. They might have like a couple weeks in a row where it's like traitor gone, traitor gone, traitor gone.
I just think that Rob will have allies who will rat them out. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like I see Danielle and Carolyn trying to recruit people and then those people going telling Rob and then Rob decimating. You know what I'm saying? Like I see that happening. I see Danielle getting clipped before because no one's ever said anything about Rob until he got rid of Bob. So it's kind of like, and it's only Wes. So we'll see if that develops. But I really do feel like Danielle's had people unconnected thinking she's.
Yeah. But what if genuinely Bob the drag queen went this week, next week Danielle goes, and then after that Boston Rob goes, imagine the last traitor left is Carolyn.
She's just like, holy shit. They'll have to.
Carolyn's like, this is absolutely nuts. I'm the final traitor. Like, I don't even know how to be around this house. This is crazy,
man. This is crazy. She'll have to, I mean, by the, if
obviously
they got rid of,
to recruit
they'll be recruiting people, obviously. They just let the show end, like, episode 3 or 5.
They're just like, okay, Carolyn, you're the last one left. You're going to have to recruit people. She's like going door to door. She's like, knock, knock, anyone in there? I have a proposition for you guys.
You guys want to be my friends? Oh my God.
She's such a character. Well, after breakfast, a moment happens that made me laugh so hard. And that was when Tom Sandoval, post-breakfast, with his entire
his look is wild.
His
too,
intense
by the way.
Eyes. Nobody,
like,
he's
his
like,
outfit.
I didn't recall
giving,
it.
It was giving very like Tom Cruise in like 2005. It was like,
I don't remember
first of all, it's 7 a.m. Okay. Leather jacket, beanie, aviators. Oh, yeah. Like nothing.
That's a classic Tom Sandoval look, by
but
the way.
It's so funny because it's like, it's so funny. It's like, it doesn't matter. Like everyone else has like manner vibes, you know, like wearing kind of like high society,
Scottish Highland energy.
He literally is like Mission Impossible. It was just such a, it's a funny outfit to me. It just did not match breakfast at all.
But he whips those aviators off and he's like staring into the camera, like so intense.
Cocaine eyes.
And he's like, I think Sierra got recruited.
Yeah, out of nowhere, dude. Just, Sierra got recruited.
I think Sierra got recruited. And you're like, why?
It's just like the craziest
theories. No reason, no logic behind any of his theories. He just is like, he holds onto the edge of people's chairs and is like shaking with the energy pulsing through him and his eyes are just like x-ray
dude,
vision. And
so
I think it's
nuts.
So funny.
Yeah.
That he at first goes for Chrishell and is like, I don't know, man, there's something about Chrishell, man. And you're like, okay, she's friends with Ariana.
Yeah.
And now he's moved on to Sierra. He's like, she got recruited, man. And you're like, she's a Bravo girlie who's probably friends with Ariana. So it's like, Sandoval is on a mission.
He's just trying to kill off all her friends.
Kill off all of Ariana's friends. And he has no correct theories. There's no reasoning behind everything. Sandoval's just on a solo mission.
He's got just kind of a crazy look too. Because even later when Rob got rid of Bob, he's like, by the way, anytime that guy speaks, I'm listening. It's like, okay, dude. Like, he's just kind of not playing the game everyone else is playing. He's a little out to lunch.
He is probably one of the most intense people that's ever existed.
I
like, the intensity pulsating off of him is...
The eyes are always just like... Oh,
wild.
Gosh, dude. Take a breath. It's like he's not breathing.
I know. Yeah, he does need to really
too much testosterone or something.
Sandoval needs to work on some breath work.
It's always just veins popping out of his head. Yeah, energy.
We need to work on some in and out through the nose, holding the breath, deep breath in and out. Maybe some meditative.
And
exercises.
When he does speak, it just makes no sense. She's like, Sierra has been recruited by the CIA. You're like, what? She's working for international governments to take down. You're like, what, dude? What are you talking about? You know when people have that thing where they think the government's like always after them, and they're like just living in like Milwaukee in like a apartment, and they're like, the government's outside. I could tell they're watching me 24/7. I mean, I feel like he's really close to that. He's really close to like having a reality TV show that's just about the FBI watching him. And every like black car that drives by, he's like, she's another one. They could tell that one undercover. It's like, dude, that guy's taking his driving test. He's close.
You know what? Say what you want about Sandoval.
Character, man.
We got a lot, you know, there's a lot to say about him, but wow.
His bizarre
I don't want him to go.
No, because, we need the weirdos.
Because is he a great player? He's the opposite of a great player. But man, every once in a while when the camera shoots to Sandoval, I'm just so entertained.
Dude, could you imagine him being a traitor? It just would have been a nightmare. I mean, he's stressed out of his mind being a faithful.
And him it's like, being he's just a like, traitor would have been everything.
It would have been great just to watch him crumble.
5 minutes in.
He's the only one that said, I don't want to be a traitor. I couldn't handle it.
Well, but I think he did that because he was like, trying I'm to save face. Yeah, I think I'm a wonderful guy.
He genuinely at this point in his life is so stressed out that like it would kill him.
Yeah, I don't think he could handle being a traitor. It would literally be 5 minutes in and he'd
crack. He'd be like, it's them. They're like, well, okay, now we have to like rewrite the show and kind of like figure out how to undo this whole thing and like recast all the traitors. He's like, sorry.
God, sorry, man.
Sorry, guys.
Oh, okay. Well, there are a few more suspicions yes. floating around, and then we have the mission, which we need to talk about, but we got to take one more quick pause. Family, so, you know, we were just talking about the fashion. Yes. The fashion in traitors is always a big focus, but wow, I am sure a lot of these fits are not comfortable, okay? Stiff, itchy, distracting from focus on the gameplay. Maybe Wells's pants weren't comfortable and that's kind of what
did it.
I'm just saying. Well, here we are to tell you, dear sir, that there are pants that are simultaneously stylish and look so sharp but feel so comfy like sweatpants. It's like secret sweats. I'm talking about pants from Public Rec. It's actually crazy. They have so many different style options. So you can walk into a very important meeting at work looking sharp or do your thing on a fancy golf course looking profesh. And these pants feel like you're cozy at home before bed in front of the TV. It's incredible. And by the way, for a limited time, our listeners can get 20% off your entire order with code MOMDAD20 at publicrec.com.
Yeah, I got to tell you, the first time Jess got me a pair of Public Rec pants, I was actually amazed. They look so good. And I put them on and I was like, what? Mm-hmm. So comfortable. They are all I wear golfing now. And also they've improved my game because I'm not in these stiff golf pants anymore. I'm comfortable and have a range of motion.
That swing,
my golf
baby.
Secret, baby. Their proprietary blend of performance materials provides the perfect combination of breathability and stretch while still holding its form. You never want to take them off. Public Rec pants come in so many unique colorways, so you're sure to find the right color for you. And also, a huge factor, usually when you order comfortable pants, you only get to pick from sizes like small, extra large, etc. Well, with Public Rec pants, you get to select the exact width and length you need. Whether you're a 30 by 30 or a 44 by 36, you can find your perfect fitting pants.
And let me tell you, I love them because, dang, they look good. Evan looks real hot in those Public Rec pants, okay? What can I say? And Public Rec not only has the most comfortable pants ever made, but they have a huge selection of high-quality everyday premium styles, like their perfect-fitting polos, shorts, and hoodies. All so sharp, all look good, and all beyond comfortable. I steal Evan's Public Rec on the reg. You know what I mean? Make your New Year's resolutions a comfortable one. No more pants that pinch, tug, or annoy. For a limited time, you can get 20% off at Public Rec by using code MOMDAD20 at checkout. Just head to publicrec.com and use code MOMDAD20 and you're all set. Oh, and when they ask how you find them, be sure to mention our show. It really helps us out. Find your perfect fit and never compromise on comfort again. Public Rec, where comfort rules. Okay, back into it. Okay, so before the mission, another thing that happens is that Wes starts getting some suspicions about Nikki. Everyone is kind of looking at Sierra, and Wes is like, I know this is unfounded. He's like, but from the top, I've been curious about Nikki because Nikki is a performer. Like, that's what Nikki does, and she has to be over the top all the time. He's like, and I find it interesting that in this setting, she wasn't over the top. Like, when she was in the coffin, she wasn't making a big show of it. It was pretty low key, whatever. And that's his suspicion towards Nikki, which I get. It is unfounded because
reaching far.
Well, I'm also a little bit like, well, listen, Wes, love ya, but just because someone's a performer when they're in the ring doesn't mean that, like, them as a human being is a performer. So Nikki's actual, like, real life energy might be really low key. So, well, maybe she's clearly just being low key.
And not only that, but he's been here a day, like she says later on, and it's like, it's not like he's been able to observe her change. Like, she's always been in chill.
Yeah, she's
like,
always
since
been
she got on the show, she was never like going whoa, and all of a sudden Wes showed up and she's like chill. It's like she's just been chill, and it's like, just because you, it's like being like, you're an actor and I saw you as the Joker, and like, why aren't you acting crazy? And it's like, I don't know. It's really reaching.
We're reaching. As this is happening, Dylan is telling Dolores that he's like, I know it's Bob. It's gotta be Bob. Right. Dolores is like, I agree. Dolores, by the way, is one of Dylan's disciples.
Yes.
Dolores is like, you're so pretty and smart.
Yes. and what's his name? Had that in the last season too. They were like disciples.
Pilot Pete.
Yeah, he's so tall and gorgeous. You gotta be right. You know what I mean? Peter's pal. So, like, there's always kind of like the pretty guy who's tall and
Dolores
handsome starts talking,
like,
and they're like, you're so
pretty and you're so smart. Right. And she's like, I agree with you, but I'm not gonna go after Bob. That's too big of a risk because he is so loved in the castle. But then they have their mission. Now, The mission for their mission is that they have a bunch of these body parts of statues and heads. At first, by the way, when I looked briefly, I'm like, is that a massive penis? There was one of them.
There was one angle.
What are these massive dicks?
Where, like, Tom was carrying the front of it and someone was carrying the back, and it would just look like balls. And then, like, you know what I mean?
I was like, are we gonna have inappropriate statues?
Not everything is penises. Okay, can you just live your life without everything being penises? It's like, oh, you guys. Sorry, guys. Honestly,
but I just
everything's a bachelorette party.
For a second, I was like, "What are we about to dive into here, traitors?
Traitors!
What is this?
Bring the penises up the hill and put the head of the penis with your name on top. Could you imagine? You're just like, what is this? Like, you know how they have like porn, versions of movies?
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
This is the porn version of traitors.
You're like, did I turn on the wrong channel? It's very niche.
But yes, yeah, so they have the bodies of the statues, but then they have the heads of the statues, and on the heads there, it's everyone's name is on a different head.
Right.
And the statues that are completed with a head on it, the person's name who's on that head will get a shield, which means a lot of people will be getting shields during this mission. Right. I, again, belly laughed when the second Alan said go, Tom Sandoval grabbed his specific head of his statue and ran up that damn hill so fast. He was like,
the guy's in great shape. Yeah, I gotta hand it. He was
like,
crushing.
I don't care about anybody. I'm just out for me. Like, this man is simply out for himself and just darts up the hill. No apologies.
Yeah.
I'm getting a shield.
And later too, he took his, because you know, you have to put the head on top of the body. He took his head up to the top. And then he helped someone for like 30 feet just pull a body up and then just put the body in and put his head on top of it. And he's like, oh, shit.
I think it was Iva, the body
that
Iva.
He was the first one, I think. He did the first head. Yeah.
And by the way, at one point he was like telling somebody, he's like, oh, I'm going to really need a shield.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why?
No one cares about
you,
I'm
like, nobody, what do you mean you're going to really need
scared.
A shield?
He's just like one of the, you know, he's just scared all the time. He just doesn't want to go home.
But during this mission, there's numerous things go down. One, it's another tale, and Alan even mentions it. He's like, all the men. Another tale of all the men, and obviously in this challenge too, it's a feat of physical strength.
Right.
So a lot of the men
took care of themselves.
Took care of themselves first. There was no like, hey, let me help you and take care of this. It's just like all the dudes are just like, I'll do it.
Well, and Gabby with another iconic quote, she just goes, they're just taking care of themselves and not thinking about us women who are basically the mother of their children and their mothers as well. And it's like, and Gabby, here is the mother of their children.
Yeah, because, and the voice of reason.
Yeah, and the voice of reason and the mother of their
but
children.
But she's right.
But it was just nobody's very funny out there to just play the card of like, we are and could be mothers.
I know, that was
and that's
so
why you need, like, the mother of their children, too.
Iconic. It
was, she's got so many one-liners. They're very
great
funny.
Great one-liners. But yeah, it was a boys' club again, just yeah, fully
just like,
helping
we're strong,
themselves.
We're taking it up.
There was one point where, like, my heart hurt for Bob Harper.
Yeah, that was tough.
So Bob, you know, he's like a famous trainer.
Right, right.
And he was
struggling
more than anybody.
Yeah.
He could not carry, even with another person, he could not carry the body up. And, you know, we find out that he had a heart attack a few years ago. So it's like, of course, he really needs to take care of himself. I was worried then when he was saying that. I was like, you need to stop. I'm like, maybe, you know, whatever. They shouldn't be maybe letting you do this or whatever. But I felt like, just a side note in the whole show, when he was saying that he's had to redefine who he is, that was like a really emotional, that was like an impactful moment where he's like, my whole life I've been this trainer and known as this. And now after my heart attack, and now I'm seeing like, I can't do some of these physical things. I have to literally redefine who I am.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I was not expecting like.
It was heavy, but it just kind of made me laugh because I do feel like certain shows are like built for that. Like certain shows are built for moments of vulnerability.
Sure. Like, I mean, like The Bachelor.
And this show isn't. And so he's like, because, you know, you don't really see any other time almost ever where someone's like talking about their personal life.
No, like vulnerability.
So he just kind of has this moment and everybody's like, that's crazy. So like, you just tell the energy was like, this is not the vibe we're going for. And he was like, you know, when you're tired and vulnerable, you're just pouring your heart out. And it was just funny because like, I just felt like everyone be like, crazy. Now I'm really stressed about getting sent home.
Yeah, Tom Sandoval is like, I need my shield.
Where are we at with the
heads? Derek helped him though. And numerous people helped Bob Harper, which I thought was really like, it was lovely.
It was very nice.
Derek was helping a lot of people.
He was.
And he was saying, I think it's a simultaneous, like, help him out in the game, but also, you know, he seems like he's kind of takes care of the people around him a little bit. In the midst of this, we have a moment where Bob says to Sierra,
yeah,
like, bitch, they all think you're the traitor. You don't need this.
Right. That was crazy.
Okay. This is where Bob, this mission, I feel like, Bob, you're my God, but did unravel Bob a bit. Because in this mission, Bob randomly says it to Sierra, which felt like not a smart move.
Right.
I don't know what Bob was trying to do with that. Also, then at the very end, when the shields are given, Bob makes the comment about how they're all suspicious of the new guys, which then sets off Boston Rob. And I was a little bit like, I don't know. I don't know if it was because Bob was having a moment of like stress or because, per usual, at the top of this game, Bob is like, we need to sit around and strategize.
Right.
And Bob was like, we need to help the people who need the help. It's so funny because Bob's a traitor. And yet Bob also, bless their heart, wants to take care of people.
Right.
So there was this like passion of like, I'm a traitor and I shouldn't care, but also.
But I think I
care.
See, I don't know if it's a care thing. I think
it's deep care.
Yeah, you're so biased. It's insane. I think he's smart. I think he goes, if I'm talking about strategy, that screams faithful.
I know.
Because a traitor doesn't want strategy. So if he's kind of getting in with people and like, here's how we strategize to smoke them out, it just screams like this guy's in on it. So, or like this guy's not in on it. So I felt like, but I did feel like him yelling to people, we need to strategize, was really smart. I thought him singling out the Sierra thing was weird. And then him obviously saying in front of everyone, there's a good chance that one of the four new people is a traitor.
Yeah.
And not, it's almost like he forgot Rob was new.
That's what I'm
like,
saying.
That was almost the energy that he like. Feel, he was just thinking about the other guys, and didn't and just for a moment completely forgot that Rob was.
It didn't feel like Bob was coming for Rob at all. It was literally like, oh, Bob was here first day.
Yeah.
It was kind of like a lapse of thought in that way. But I think it was. I think a lot of it comes from the heart.
Yeah,
because
babe,
Bob
I love
cares.
You. No, Bob cares. I'm sure in real life, but Bob was game playing the whole
Bob
time.
Bob cares, and Bob
loves
others.
Bob was not
others.
Like pouring out his heart. To
Did
know.
You hear when Bob said it was? I think my favorite part of the episode. When Alan's dog, Lala, walks up and Bob's like, she's a faithful.
Yeah. 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 Yes. I love Bob, but there's no question Bob was not like just pouring his heart out on the screen by loving everybody. Like, he loves people, but he was absolutely game playing.
But didn't you love when Bob said the dog was the faithful? Yes, that just reminded me of you. Yeah, I felt like you would be like,
I would just be like, where's the dog? I'm trying to pet the dog. They'd be like, you need to play the game. I'm like, yeah, but the dog's out here.
She's a faithful is so funny. All right. Well,
as they say in the documentary about Michael Jordan, that's all it took, or that's all I needed. Like, when Michael Jordan takes things for super personally and then he like becomes like obsessed about like taking that person out. Rob was like, took that as a slight shot and goes, cool, my life is now dedicated to taking you out.
Rob turned on Bob so fast that he immediately on the way to the cars is telling, I don't know if it's Wes or Derek or whoever, he's like, we got to get the head of the dragon. And that's Bob.
Derek, I think.
Head of the dragon. And what he was saying, by the way, too, in ITMs, is that his strategy is, he's like, not only do I not trust Bob, but as a traitor, you got to give the faithful some blood, which I think is true. But to do it to Bob and to do it so quickly, last week, Boston Rob was like, no, we got to stick together. I would like some credits and some props, because in our episode last week, I said Boston Rob will be the first traitor to turn on a traitor. And was I right?
You didn't expect it this soon, but you were definitely right.
I didn't expect it this
soon. No one did.
And I didn't think that Boston Rob would turn on Bob.
Right.
I thought maybe he'd turn on Danielle or Carolyn.
Someone seemingly a little easier to take out.
Well,
maybe.
I just feel like he was watching Carolyn and Danielle arguing, that I thought maybe Boston Rob would be like, oh, it might be easier,
but
because
he knew that Bob would support Danielle.
True.
But he knew that Bob's a force if he can talk about someone else. Mm-hmm. So if he went straight for him. What was crazy to me about the whole Rob versus Bob situation was, first of all, no one was suspecting him except Dylan. So it wasn't like it wasn't like Danielle had four or five people like suspecting of her. So he could have gone after her and at least maybe had a shot. He just went for the head of the dragon with no support except for one guy, and then started going around and recruiting. And then
within 2 hours.
And what was so impressive to me was when he went to Danielle and Carolyn, he knew that at least Danielle was like really pro Rob, pro Bob. So he goes, hey, I'm just letting you know what's going on. Apparently it's happening with or without us. Bob, the drag queen's going down. So then he took himself out of the equation and said, do we vote for him or not? We need to figure this out, because like, we don't want to be the ones that didn't. And then look what, you know, so I'm just saying. And then Danielle exposed how much she loves Bob by being like, that's insane. There's no way I'm voting for him. But Carolyn didn't do any sort of like, no way. She's just,
no, and Danielle leaves the room.
And then he's like, come here. And then he's like, I got you. Let's do this thing.
DV.
Bro, us. I mean, listen, don't mess with that guy.
Boston.
If he can take out the number one favorite and best player in the game in 2 hours, without even like trying.
Wasn't even breaking a sweat.
Wasn't stressed at all. Bro. That's crazy town.
DVS. And so, yeah, like you said, Rob talks to Dylan and then starts and goes to everybody. Literally half of the cast, Boston Rob talks to.
How it didn't get back to Bob makes no sense to me.
Well, see, that's where Mama's a little curious about Danielle. It's like, did the producers not allow Danielle to talk to Bob?
Because Bob told Danielle.
Yes. Or did Danielle go,
I'm a little too afraid
and
now.
Did a little bit of the Judas thing with Bob, because Bob protected Danielle beforehand and the favor was not returned, and Bob's just bopping around the mansion.
That's what I thought was going to happen.
Being like, oh, I'm good.
I thought Bob was going to find out, and I thought they were going to have a battle royale before the circle, and then it was going to send off the next couple episodes of drama.
Yes.
But I did not expect him to hear nothing about it.
No. Nothing. And again, so many people knew. Even like when Rob was telling Chriselle, hey, you should, and she was like, I don't know. And then Rob told Nikki, and Nikki's like, I can't vote for Bob. I love Bob. There's no way.
I wonder if the producers like saw it happening and then grabbed Bob for like a bunch of ITMs.
Seems like it.
Just get him out of the
house.
How
would Bob not find out?
Crazy.
And I feel like Bob always has their ear to the ground. It's a little bit like, hey, I'm good friends with everybody.
And he had so many allies that like there had to have been someone.
I mean, so when the round table starts,
yeah.
First Wes has a moment.
Right.
But when Boston Rob comes for Bob.
Oh my gosh, the shock.
Bob's face.
He was like, hands were shaking. He couldn't believe that, like, I'm on the chopping block right now.
Imagine, put yourself in Bob's situation. I've got my traders. I'm coasting.
Completely comfortable.
We're talking about either Nikki or
no
Sierra.
One suspects me.
We've got two people that we have set up as the traders because we got rid of Jeremy and now everyone's talking about Nikki or Sierra. So we as a trader crew, we're good. We've got our two people who are going to be on the chopping block. And then Rob, it's not even Dylan that brings it up. Rob brings up Bob.
Well, he did it too with like a whole speech.
The shock and dismay that I would have felt is next level.
Well, yeah, it was so crazy too because, you know, before when Dylan presented Bob, it was kind of just like, Bob, I think you're sketchy. You know, it was like that. But Rob did like a whole like presidential speech.
Rob,
and then all of a sudden, and then you saw Bob almost excited to be like, who's he going to talk about? This is so interesting.
It's like, oh,
then,
I didn't know what's going like, on.
And that's you. And he gave him the look of death.
And the way that Rob bolstered into it was at first we have Wes who presents the case of Nikki, which by the way, Wes, so well spoken.
My gosh.
So well spoken.
Incredibly well spoken.
He was just like, my fellow traitors, lest us
yeah,
not.
Yeah, it was very like, hear ye, hear ye.
It was giving Hamilton.
It was lest us not forget. Upon the crown lies a heavy weight. He was like, what?
And he's like, lest us not forget and be caught up in emotions with some new names getting thrown right. around because Wes knew that Bob's name was getting thrown around. So Wes was a little bit like, don't get distracted by these new emotions that you're feeling. Remember that we were talking about Nikki, my dear fellow traitor.
Yeah, my fellow compatriots.
And then we had Gabby come in that was like the idea, wrong girl.
Right.
Which, side note, Gabby's cracking me up where she was like,
oh my
I don't have any proof that Nikki's not the traitor, but like, am I biased? Sure. But like, she's my friend, so she's not.
She said like, we're she's a part of
the Bambies
and we're girlies and we're besties. And she said, even if she is a traitor, I won't vote for her because I don't want her to go home because we're like besties.
Yeah, I loved it
God,
so much.
I love her.
And then, but Gabby's like, Sierra, wrong girl. And then Derek's like, hey, in an interrogation setting, you know, a guilty suspect swears a ton and you're swearing a ton. Sierra, love you, Sierra. They were coming for you. Again, they have no founded basis for why they're coming for Sierra.
Dylan's like, the first word she ever said to me was fuck. So yeah. I think you're wrong on that one.
But there's no founded basis. But then Sierra, her argument was wild.
It was
Sierra's
epic.
Like, I am a nurse and I never lie. And I tell people all the time hard truths. And I was like, Sierra, love you. But you can be the most honest, love-giving, incredible nurse, human being on the planet. But when you're a traitor in this game, it doesn't matter.
Also, you can be an incredible nurse and a psychotic liar. Those two, no two, awesome. Those, no one ever said, man, as honest as a nurse. That'd be like, I'm a mailman. I am so, like
it's like,
just,
what?
It makes no, I'm a mailman. I am the most honest mailman of all.
There's no jobs that you can be like, well, I'm this job.
Maybe a
so
judge or something. I don't even know
judge,
what.
So many judges are corrupt.
No,
you can't
I'm
even
more,
say that.
I'm more, but I'm saying guess, like conceptually, I'm trying to go like, but what was so funny was,
like,
her
what?
Saying, I am a nurse. That's why you need to believe I'm a faithful. Just even that is hilarious and made her look so guilty.
I worry for Sierra because Sierra knew that they were coming for her, which means she had hours to prepare an argument.
Yeah.
And that being the argument, I'm a little bit like, they might off her soon because she might be an easy out.
What I do for a living outside proves I can never lie.
Not me.
In this game of liars.
It's like, you mean
funny.
That means that Alan just wouldn't have chosen you because I
it was wild.
But then Rob is like, everybody shut up.
Right.
these are all distractions. There is one person that's been quarterbacking this entire show who has all the love and all the admiration of every person here. And he, by the way, most terrifying mafia-esque thing I've ever seen in big my time. Life is Rob looking around the table and saying, and there's one person here, and pauses for so long and then zoom.
Yeah, right
at Bob. Zoom, just stares Bob's dead like, at Bob.
Bob was so shocked.
And then he goes, Bob the drag queen. But the way that he looked at him first sent chills. The way he was turning his head and then sent chills down my spine.
Insane.
Terrifying. And he's like, it's Bob the drag queen. And Bob, you know, then Bob is like, absolutely not. Mm-hmm. I never lie. I don't lie. I'm so trustworthy. And then Bob is like, I have 9 words for you. I swear to God,
right.
I am a faithful.
How did he do that so fast?
Genius.
Was he going?
I know. I was thinking that too. I was like, how do you think of 9 words? Listen, again, if you ever consume Bob content, you watch the roasts, you watch Bob stand up, you watch Bob on Snatch Game, you'll know how he came and comes up with it. His, Bob's brain is so like, bam, 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 fires off like so, like the best retorts ever.
But it was funny how empty his, like, he didn't have any good response back to this because he was so shook. It was just funny to be like, my proof is I have 9 words for you. I am not him. And then, because Rob just responds and goes, I have 2. You are. It was like a great diss.
That was Bob's or Rob's response goes, back. I got 2.
Let's do that, but we don't play the word game.
You're not. He goes, you're not.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But then Bob is like, everything that Rob is saying about me is about himself, and basically Rob is a traitor and is scared of me because Rob knows that I'm the best player, like I'm the biggest threat to Rob here, which was a good argument.
Yeah,
because it does seem very clearly to be the case where it's like Bob's a standout player,
right,
and everybody loves Bob and Bob's always coming up with, right, different ideas and whatever. But then Dylan pops in, probably the most iconic part of the entire series of all 3 seasons.
Oh my gosh, regarding his brother.
Was
holy
when
shit.
Dylan's like, listen, I just, like, Bob's a champion. Like, if I'd go in as a traitor, I would probably play it low key, but Bob's such a good actor,
yes,
that Bob's able to come in and just swipe the floor. And he's like, listen, I know, I grew up around an actor. And Bob goes, not a good one.
And that was when everyone turned against Bob. Like, he just insults Zac Efron so hard.
Comes for Zac Efron's
throat. And not in a way that helps him. Gig. It wasn't like he kind of like said, you're a bad actor, Dylan.
But
and
that, by
it's
the
like
way,
he just roasts
but that
his
Bob,
brother.
The way that Bob delivered it, kind of sighed,
yeah,
under Bob's breath, just like, not a
but
good one.
But it made
one.
Dylan laugh. I feel like Dylan laughed.
I felt like Dylan
that.
Wasn't offended.
Yeah. No, not at all. Dylan,
see, as someone sitting at that round table, like Dolores was like, that is not
right.
Nice. And everyone's like, how dare you tamper the holy, holy, holy name of Zac, yes, Efron. And I'm like, I would have started laughing. I thought
funny.
It was so funny. I'm like, Bob is the key. This is we're right. Quippy. We're having mm-hmm. we're going back and forth here. Okay, we can't take anything seriously at this round table.
Yeah.
So a side comment about your brother being a bad actor
very
is
funny.
Hilarious.
Very funny. But
so
then everyone.
Funny.
But then like half the people who are, you know, sensitive like that, they
yeah.
were like, fine. Well, you know, I don't know if this is an amazing argument why he's a traitor, but I don't
half
wanna,
of the people
you know,
who
let's
are,
just get rid of him because. Everyone seems to be kind of
half
on the
of the
fence.
People who are probably kissing Dylan's ass,
right,
because they're
they
hoping
to
connect with,
yeah,
with Zac Efron,
exactly,
are like, we are so sorry,
yeah,
Dylan, that
your
he would,
is your brother gonna be
that
there?
Bob would ever say that about,
yes,
your brother. Your brother is an icon among icons.
Exactly.
And then Rob with the line. When Rob's like, if he's not a traitor, get rid of me next.
Right.
So
iconic.
Iconic. So the votes start coming in.
Yeah.
Okay. This is when then Danielle is like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. Danielle votes for Bob.
Dude, that was crazy.
Ultimate betrayal. So unnecessary.
All you had to do was vote for anybody else.
Vote for Sierra. Vote for Nikki.
Easy. But you voted for Bob?
Why? Because then Danielle was like, well, they're going to really think that I'm a faithful because obviously Danielle knows that Bob's going to have to say that they're a traitor. But I'm like, it doesn't matter. You just, no. Oh, I was bummed out about that. I hope it doesn't ruin their relationship.
It was. I don't think. I think you know. She felt so bad afterwards.
Oh, she was bawling and all that. Because she knows that one hurts Bob. That one's gonna hurt Bob. I bet during the reunion, that's gonna be if they haven't worked it out yet as friends, that's gonna be a.
But
painful.
Even aside from that, I just felt like she knew that was gross.
It was a dirty move. It was gross. Especially when Bob protected Danielle beforehand. Yeah, it was exactly. Like, why? You don't need to do that. Gabby, my girl, the absolute queen that Gabby is, does not vote for Bob because Gabby's a real one and Gabby loves Bob and she has always said that she loves Bob and boom, Gabby's not going to vote for Bob.
Who'd she vote for again?
Sierra.
Sierra, yeah.
But Chrishell, one of the Bambies, votes for Bob.
Yeah.
And then Bob the drag queen voted for Rob.
It was just a retaliation.
I get it because of the emotions, but I also think it would have been kind of a powerful move if Bob would have been like.
But it didn't matter because everyone already voted. So like,
no, Bob. But they.
I'm saying they submit their votes. Like you can't. Like they have to write it down and then done. There's not like writing it down each time.
I understand it, but what I'm saying is, let's just say Bob wouldn't have gotten voted out, and Bob wouldn't
have
voted for Rob. It could have been something then when Bob went to the turret and was like, what the fuck, Boston Rob?
Yeah, like he should have voted for Sierra. Because,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, or Nikki, because it's like...
Just in case.
It's a waste of a vote to go against Rob because no one's voting for Rob.
Exactly. So it's a little bit like a just in case, like, hey, in case Bob the drag queen, you stay around, when you go to the turret with Boston Rob, you can be like, what the fuck? But also, hey, look.
Right.
Look at me. I didn't... Even though you came for my throat, I still didn't reveal you.
Yeah.
I think that might have been a good move. Yeah. But then Carolyn votes for Bob.
Yeah.
And everybody. I mean, it's a Bob landslide. Yeah. There was some for Nikki. There was some for Sierra. But then Bob, it was landslide. Bob is out. And then Bob goes up and does the best speech of all time and is like, faithfuls, listen to my words very carefully. I do not lie. I do not tell a lie. I said, I swear to God. To God! And that was a lie because I don't believe in God. I'm a traitor.
It was such a drag race moment.
Oh, it was such so a drag race. It was so drag. It was so good. I swear to God. And I don't believe in God.
Yeah.
I mean, it was literally just like, and I swear to God, I'm a traitor. And then Bob didn't say anything like even like vindictive, just did like a little bow and just exited on an iconic high where everyone. And see, that's the theater of Bob. Yes. Why we need Bob around. And I'm so devastated. That exit.
Yeah.
Everyone was on such pins and needles the way he did that exit. Everyone literally threw their bodies out of the chairs and we saw people land on the ground.
It was so great.
Because it was so...
Everyone was just, Yeah, it was so epic. Everyone's like hugging Rob and it was very epic. And then I loved Bob's ITMs because it was like zero emotion and just went great gameplay. Rob's awesome. I would have done this, you know what I mean? It was just a really
Bob
good,
didn't
like...
Bob say that Rob was awesome.
No, but I'm just saying, like, it was, like, really respect the, like, game of it all. And that's what I really liked about Bob, is Bob wasn't going, like, how could he? It was just like, that's the game.
No, Bob was
very
like...
Very well done.
Bob was like, I get it. Boston Rob is a killer and played the game. Like, respect
It was a respectful thing, yeah.
But then after the round table, they are, like, heralding... Boston Rob and Dylan, like they just went to a battle with Hades and it was this, you know, whatever. They're like, oh my God, you're incredible. We love you. We admire you. Da, 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 da. Dylan's like, it's not just me. Boston Rob encouraged me to come forward and he said that he would say it first. And da, 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 da. And that's something like you talked about earlier where Dylan's like now putty in the hands of Boston Rob.
Yeah.
Big time. And everyone's going to kiss Dylan and Boston Rob's ass. Boston Rob pulls Dylan aside. Dylan's like, hey, I think Gabby and Bob H are traitors, which wrong about both. But Bob H had a moment when he's walking up the stairs, was like, good night, all my faithful hunters. And was like, whoops. And I'm like, oh no, that's going to haunt
he's
Bob
like,
Harper.
Yeah.
Like, even though he's not a traitor, I'm like, that was just a slip of the tongue that's going to haunt him. It's about to take, Bob H is about to go down because of that slip of the tongue. I'm like, oh no,
that
or at least
brutal.
Be put up. But obviously Dylan's wrong about both of his assessments.
Yeah.
But I think Boston Rob will use Dylan's ideas.
Yes.
So that he
his
can
passion.
Be friends, befriend Dylan. Let Dylan be the one with the wrong ideas.
Yes.
But then be his like mentor that then Dylan feels like cared for by Boston Rob.
Rob's got a, he's in an amazing spot.
Yes, but also like we see right before the end.
Right.
Tom Sandoval is like, dude, anything that Rob says, he's like, he was so sure of himself, man. So sure of himself. I fully trust him. And Wes then says, Wes with the gold, it's like, how can you be 100% sure someone's a traitor? And then it dawns on all of them. They're like, oh, if you're a traitor. And it's true. That was the only thing actually when they were at the round table that I was a little bit like, man, Rob is coming so hardcore. Like, I'm 100% confident Bob is a traitor. Like, get rid of me if I'm wrong. That it's like, that felt a little sus because Rob has played the game pretty low key until that moment. It's like, how else would he know it unless also, he was a traitor?
Also, Rob's new. So it's not even like he's been here the whole time and he's been watching him.
Yeah.
He barely even knows Bob.
Barely
like it's been
Bob.
Like 2 days.
Yep.
So that would also be a concern to me where it's like, if it was one of the original cast members, it's different. But the fact that Rob is like, just showed up and a day later is like, take me out. If it's not him, I'm 100% sure. It's a little bit like you went too intense.
And if I was smart, which I'm not, I would remember the moment during the mission where Bob said it's one of the new guys.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, okay, interesting. Mm. You know, try to piece all that together. But again, I would never be able to. Gosh. I'd be so caught up in the emotion.
Yeah,
in the
so
moment.
It'll be interesting to see if Rob kind of went too hard, too fast, too early, and is now going to have a target on his back.
Well, I think Wes, man, Wes is a good game player.
Yeah, he is.
And I think Wes is going to hunt Boston Rob down. Because if you recall, maybe episode 2 or 3, when Wes, Derek, and Rob joined the game, yeah, during breakfast, Wes brings up, well, I think one of us is a traitor.
Yeah.
Because Wes was like, they're not going to bring in 3 new people and not put a traitor in. So Wes is
picking
Wes
up on
has
something.
Been like, you know, making, I think it was Wes who said it, not Derek. Maybe it was Derek. But there's been groundbreaking where it's like, one of us,
it makes
one
sense.
Of us
everyone
three
should be thinking
has
there's
to be a traitor. Yes. So when Bob said that, it was like, it's true.
It is very true.
Why would they bring 3 new
Dumb
people
that
in
he brought
and not?
It up, but true. Yeah, but like whatever the people.
So I think Wes might be our knight in shining armor who comes out and breaks up. Because
we
this.
Also have Danielle and Carolyn being like, we're scared for our lives here. So,
well, like Carolyn says, she's like, you know, basically now,
yeah,
like we think we're a team, we're not.
Yeah.
Boston Rob is in charge and he could get rid of any of us, man.
Yeah.
And so we see in the preview for next week, Danielle, they're about to have the turret, which is going to be crazy.
I cannot wait.
I wish Bob was in the turret.
I know.
After the betrayal of Boston Rob, or by Boston Rob, if Bob and Boston Rob would have gotten to go head-to-head in the turret, that would have been
amazing.
Everything. But we'll see how that goes down. But then, yeah, we see in the preview that Danielle's like chatting. Her and Carolyn seem to now be uniting, even though they've been arguing before. It's like, hey, we can't let Boston Rob rule this thing. And we hear Danielle be like, we need to figure out how do you get rid of a mafia silent assassin? It's like, what are their plans to silently get rid of Rob? And I wonder if maybe those plans involve Wes, where it's like, hey, we got to get into Wes's mind, or this crew that now is putting this together to get rid of Rob.
Mm-hmm.
But mm-hmm. Do it quietly. You have to do it quietly, or else Rob's going to figure out a way to manipulate the situation. God,
wow.
It was so good.
Man, Rob comes in like a fury. A day and a half in and is completely just taking control.
Like they say, he's the godfather.
But I think everyone is afraid of him versus Dylan is like people like him and kind of want to hear what he has to say. He's more, everybody's afraid of Rob. So we'll see how that kind of shakes out.
That Rob got attached to Dylan.
The next best thing he could do is like get attached to like Wes. So like him, Wes and Dylan. And I think Wes is smelling.
I also think too, people are intimidated by Wes as well.
Yeah.
Because Wes is kind of an imposing character.
Yeah.
Versus Rob attaching himself to Dylan is genius because everyone loves
genius.
Dylan. Dylan's rocking his like cardigan heart sweater,
and he got
like
Dylan's
taking out Bob.
Dream, you know what I mean? Which was to get Bob, and then Dylan was vindicated by being right.
Mm-hmm.
So now he got a lot of ego boost. Now everyone's going, "Oh my God, Dylan, you were right the whole time."
Uh-huh.
He's got him in his pocket.
Oh my gosh! Well, I am like pins and needles
yes.
for the rest of these episodes,
it's
even though
awesome.
I am very angry that Bob is gone,
know,
and it will
baby,
not be
I'm
the
sorry.
Same. It will not be the same.
It will not.
But I am still, I think the season's going to start getting real because that episode
agree.
Was unbelievable. Well, family, hey, tune in.
Yes.
On Friday, When we do cast bios part two, okay, we're gonna do cast bios part two, and then the following week, grant season starts. Yes. So, okay, here's a little bit of how it's gonna go down, I think, at least for the next couple weeks. So, we got cast bios part two on Friday, tune into that. And then next week on Wednesday, we will have Grant's premiere episode. We only have one episode next week. So then the following week, I believe on Monday, we'll drop a Traders recap of the next two episodes. Because next week, we'll miss the Traders episode. So then the following week on Monday, we'll do the two episodes that have come since. Episodes 5 and 6, I believe. And then we'll do Grant's second episode. You know, so it kind of go like that. I think that's kind of going to be our schedule. Maybe the Bachelor episode every week and then the Traders two episodes every other week.
I think that makes the most sense.
If that makes sense to everybody.
Love it. But I'm excited to get into the batch too. It's going to be awesome.
I cannot wait. So again, tune in on a Friday for that iCast bio up. And we love you all so much. And sending all of our love to you.
See you in a couple days.
We'll see you in a couple days.
Bye.
Bye.
Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger fuel centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.